Good Sunday evening, Shannon Hills Bible Chapel. Very good to be with you all tonight. It's great to have a warm, multi-purpose facility, isn't it? I'll just be honest with you, I wish I had a basketball right now. Take a little trick shot. Reminds me of playing pig or horse back in the day. So very good to be with you all. We had a fantastic time at Mountaintop Youth Camp. I did not realize how long it had been since I was at Mountaintop. Time just slips right by. And it was very good to be back at Mountaintop Youth Camp. Love it there. And to be with your young men and women. We had a fantastic time. I don't see many of them here tonight. We wore them out, apparently. But quiz them. Ask them what they learned over the weekend at Mountaintop Youth Camp. We had just a very nice time together. What a great place to retreat from the busyness and the distractions of this world. I must pause and extend greetings to each of you from many different folks. First of all, from the Glock family. My father, Dave Glock, says hello, knows many of you from days gone by, and he said to be sure to extend his greetings. So greetings from the Glocks, my father, and also from my dear bride, Katie, and our kiddos. They were unable to join us for the retreat. But always extend greetings to those that I have a privilege to interact with and minister to. My wife, Katie, is a big part of ministry. We serve together. So greetings from Katie and our kiddos. We have a son, Jonathan David, who is 5, a daughter, Anna Catherine, Anna Kate, we call her, who is 7. I also bring greetings from my nephew, Brandon Allen Johnson. Brandon will be getting married this summer to a young lady, perhaps some of you know her, Carolyn Grace Shelley. I thought you might recognize the name. So greetings. I just texted those two dear ones saying that I was here. We're looking forward to celebrating with them in early June as the Lord leads and guides. Greetings also from Emmaus Bible College. I think you know some folks there. Israel and Erica Chavez extend their greetings. Students from Emmaus that have come and gone. Greetings from Emmaus. We have much in common, Emmaus Bible College and Shannon Hills Bible Chapel. We're thankful that Zach is with us this year finishing up. But thankful for our long history where we have been serving the Lord together. Embracing the same truths and investing in things that are eternal. Someone has once said that there are three things that last forever: God, His Word, and the souls of men and women, the souls of people. To the extent that you're involved in these three things, you're involved in eternity. Isn't it a privilege to be involved in things of eternity? God, His Word, and the souls of men and women. We have much in common, and we're thankful that we get to invest in things of eternity together. We'd appreciate your ongoing prayer and support for the ministry at Emmaus Bible College. I understand President Phil Boom was with you last week. He mentioned that he had a great time getting to know you and introducing himself and spending a few moments with you. Again, we appreciate very much your prayer for what the Lord is doing in Dubuque, Iowa. It feels a lot like Dubuque, Iowa around here these days. This temperature is just right for this time of year, indeed. It is the most wonderful time of the year. It's been described as the happiest season of all. And I tend to think that. We have a plaque up at our house that says this: Christmas is coming. It's up year-round. We never take it down. We love to celebrate. We love to celebrate in the Glock household. We love to celebrate seasons and holidays, but especially love this time of year, Thanksgiving and Christmas. For us, the Glocks, and for us believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, this really is a great time of year where we can do what the last verse of 2 Corinthians chapter 9 tells us to do, that we can give thanks to God for this indescribable gift, the gift of the Lord Jesus. Thanksgiving and Christmas, a wonderful time of year for us because we know what it's all about. We know that every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. We know how gracious and merciful our great God has been toward us. We know what Christmas is all about, and for us, it makes this time of year the happiest season of all. But that's not true for everyone. For those who don't know Christ, for those who do not recognize that every good and perfect gift comes from the Father, this can be a very discouraging time of year, a sobering time of year, a year where they really don't understand what it is all about. Have you ever been bothered and puzzled and concerned about how close they are to the truth, and yet how far away they are from the truth? As I was driving over, having a bite to eat with the Armfields, and driving over, I saw Christmas trees being sold on the corner. Decorations are everywhere, and the malls are prepared. There will be all kinds of Christmas concerts and programs and carolers and celebration. It's always puzzled me to think that folks can sing Christmas carols and perform Handel's Messiah and miss what it's all about. The greatest gift. This evening, I'd like to take a journey with you. I'd like for us to take a journey together, and I would love for you all to someday be able to come to Emmaus Bible College. I know that might not be a reality. Perhaps you can do it online. Perhaps you'll come to one of our conferences along the way. I'd love for you to be able to come with us to Israel. We're taking a trip to Israel in March. Dr. Steve Sanchez, the chair of our Bible department, as well as Phil Boom and his wife Evelyn, our president, are heading to Israel March 6th through the 16th, I believe. If you're interested, please chat with me about it. But it's likely that you won't come on the trip to Israel with us. And unfortunately, it's likely that most of you will not be able to come to Dubuque, Iowa, to Emmaus. So I thought we'd make the best of it and travel to Emmaus just outside of Jerusalem together tonight. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, and as you're turning, I'd ask you to do this exercise with me. If you will, we're not going to take a test. I'll have no way of telling if you'll partake in this way. But I'd encourage you to imagine tonight that you were one of the two travelers on the road to Emmaus. We know one of the names. His name is Cleopas. So perhaps that's the individual you want to imagine that you are tonight. Perhaps it's the other traveler. Some have suggested it is Cleopas's wife. However, it says, the Lord says to them, we will see, O foolish men and slow of heart. So I don't think that holds water. But nevertheless, there's a second traveler, and you have the option, if you will, hypothetically, to imagine that you were the other, Cleopas or the other. Which one will you choose tonight? Imagine the emotions that these two experienced. Imagine the conversations that they partook in with one another and with the Savior. Imagine their reaction to the one who joined them on their journey. Imagine that you're Cleopas tonight, or the other. As we travel together just outside of Jerusalem to a little village called Emmaus. Let's pray together as we take this journey together this evening. Father, you're great and greatly to be praised. We thank you for these dear folks, and we thank you for this local body of believers. We thank you for Shannon Hills Bible Chapel. We thank you for the history of this place. We thank you for its commitment to your word and to the principles found in your word in the New Testament specifically. We pray that you would continue to bless and lead and guide and provide for this local work. We pray that growth and development and maturity would take place in all, and that all that is said and done would bring glory to yourself. We thank you for this time of year. May it be that we who know what it's all about, may it be that we don't get caught up in the hustle and bustle, the busyness and all the happenings, and we miss what it really is all about. May we be reminded of that tonight. We ask for your help. We pray that you would teach us whatever it is we need to learn tonight, and that you would take away any distractions. We pray that we would respond to the truth that we see. In Jesus' name, we ask these things. Amen. So have you made your selection? Cleopas or the other, as we take this journey together? Verse 13 of chapter 24 begins and states the following: "And behold, two of them, two of you, two of us were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they..." You were talking with each other about all the things which had taken place. Can you imagine the conversation? It's been a busy few days, and you're talking to one another about all that has taken place. And as you discuss, while you were talking and discussing, Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them, with you. Verse 16 is an encouraging and interesting and puzzling verse all at the same time. We don't know why, but we do understand that sovereignly, your eyes were prevented from recognizing the Lord Jesus. We know the story, and we know that it's the Lord Jesus, but imagine you did not. Imagine that you are Cleopas tonight, or you are the other traveler tonight, and you're discouraged. You're talking about all that has recently taken place as you travel this short journey to a little village named Emmaus. Verse 17 says this: "And he," the Lord Jesus, "said to them, 'What are these words that you are exchanging with one another as you are walking?'" What are you talking about? The Lord Jesus inquired, a question for their benefit and for our benefit. He asked them to describe and to fill him in on the discussion. And they stood there, still looking sad. Can you practice that one? Go ahead, look sad. Outstanding job. Well done tonight. They stood there looking sad. Why were they so sad? Why are you so sad, Cleopas? Why are you so sad, other traveler? One of them, named Cleopas, answered and said to him, "Are you the only one? Are you the only one without clue? Are you the only one unaware? Are you the only one who does not know what has taken place these last few days? Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of the things that have happened here in these days?" I love the Lord Jesus' response, don't you? Tell me about it. Two words. What things? Hear the hope of the world. The indescribable gift that we celebrate and give thanks for this time of year, asks the question, what things? It's interesting how individuals come close to understanding and embracing the truth of who Christ is and what he has to offer. The fact that he is the promised one, the Messiah, that he is our hope. They come so close. They have pieces of the puzzle in place, but not all of them. These two travelers are like that. Folks that we know, family, neighbors, and friends are like that this time of year. They understand bits and pieces. They sing great Christmas carols that have in them the truth. They attend church. This is a big time for church attendance. They'll gather with family who have this hope. And they have pieces of the puzzle, but they haven't put it all together yet. These folks responded and said to the Lord, the things about Jesus, the Nazarene, they had that straight, right? Where he was from. They believed that. What else did they believe? Some of it was not accurate. Who was a prophet? They hadn't yet realized that the Lord Jesus, he was the Son of God. He was indeed the promised Messiah. Their thinking was that he was a prophet. They did understand that he did mighty things. He was mighty in word. That's one of the pieces. And deed, that's another of the pieces. So close, and yet so far away. And he said to them, what things? The things about Jesus the Nazarene. They believe that. Who was a prophet. Mighty in deed and word in the sight of God and in all the people. A lot of people believe that, don't they? And yet haven't put the pieces of the puzzle together. Thanksgiving and Christmas are not the most wonderful time of the year for them, because they miss what the season is really all about. Verse 20, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to the sentence of death. They understood that too. They knew that Jesus was handed over to the chief priest, that he was sentenced to death and was crucified. Likely they watched. And yet they're sad. They're without hope. As they talk about these things that happened, listen to what they were looking for and hadn't realized yet that he had come. But we were hoping. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, it is the third day since these things happened. These folks were hoping that the Lord Jesus was the promised one. They were hoping that he was the Messiah, the deliverer, who had come to rescue and to deliver them, redeem Israel. We were hoping. And they didn't yet realize that hope had come. Did you have the occasion a few weeks ago, I think on a Thursday night, to watch a special about Billy Graham? Did anybody tune in? It was a fantastic evening, wasn't it? Loved watching the history of Billy Graham. Dr. Jack Fish, senior Bible faculty member at Emmaus Bible College, was saved at one of the Billy Graham crusades. My dad, Dave Glock, took his girlfriend, Mel Glock, to the crusades. and they were greatly influenced, having already trusted in Christ. I watched the special, and I got to confess to you, I got chills, goosebumps as I watched. As hundreds of people poured out of the stadium in seats, responding to the simple yet significant message, the good news of the gospel. As I watched that 30-minute special, there were two words that stood out to me. Two words. The first word is hope. Hope for America, this crusade and this effort, even in his senior years, that Billy Graham and others, no doubt, are putting into motion, that there is hope. There is, isn't there? Don't you love the difference hope is to a believer? Most of the time when the word hope is used, there's some uncertainty. I hope it gets warm. I hope he or she likes me. I was born in Chicago, born and raised. I hope the Cubs win. There's a bit of uncertainty when we usually use the word hope. But for a believer, the word hope conveys a certainty, doesn't it? It conveys an absolute. It's described as a hope that will not, does not disappoint. Hope has come in the person of the Lord Jesus. And you, Cleopas, you, other traveler, haven't realized it yet. Isn't it sobering when someone is so close and yet so far away? And doesn't celebrate and realize that hope has come in the Lord Jesus Christ. The first word that stood out on that 30-minute special was hope. The second word was this, the word cross. The word cross. And time after time after time, Billy Graham, as he always does, did and still does, communicated that the Bible says that the Lord Jesus did this for us on the cross. They were close. They knew that Jesus was from Nazareth. That piece of the puzzle was intact. They knew that he was mighty in word and deed in the eyes of God and of others. They knew that he was different, acknowledged him as a prophet. But they didn't realize that hope had come and salvation had been provided because of the cross. They were hoping. And it's now the third day. It is the third day since these things happened. On top of that, not only did they have a few of these pieces of the puzzle in place, there were these women. These women who reported and declared, "We have been to the tomb early in the morning," verse 22, "but also some women among us amazed us when they were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body." Can you imagine, Cleopas, other? Can you imagine being there? Can you imagine watching from a distance the Lord Jesus, the hope of the world, be crucified? Can you imagine hearing these women say, "We went to his tomb, this one that we were hoping would be the Redeemer. We went to his tomb and did not find his body." Pieces of the puzzle, so many of them, so close. And yet so far away. Verse 23, "and did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive." Not only did they not find his body,
These angelic beings made a declaration that Jesus is alive. Hope. That's pretty close, isn't it? All this truth all around them. So close, and yet so far away. There's more, verse 24. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just exactly as the women also had said. More eyewitnesses to the fact that the tomb was empty, that his body wasn't found. Just like these ladies said, others found that information exactly accurate as well. More pieces to the puzzle. But him they did not see. The Lord Jesus speaks again. The Lord Jesus speaks again and makes this statement in verse 25. And he said to them, O foolish men. Can you imagine hearing it, Cleopas? Other, perhaps I shouldn't have given you a name. We just don't know. Sorry. Can you imagine the Lord Jesus? You don't know it's him. Your eyes have been sovereignly prevented from seeing that it is he, the hope of the world. And he says to you, O foolish men, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Do you enjoy prophecy? I love prophecy. I love being able to look at what the prophets had spoken, and I love it for two reasons primarily. There's other reasons, no doubt. I love it because it confirms that we have the truth, doesn't it? This was said hundreds of years ago, and this took place exactly when it was said and where it was said to the day, and the proof is overwhelming. Prophecy. It brings about confirmation that we have the truth. Secondly, it tells us what we have to look forward to, what to anticipate, and as a result should affect the way we live now. O foolish men, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. When the Lord Jesus makes this statement, he acknowledges that they knew what the prophet said. They were hoping that it was he. They were hoping that a redeemer had come. So many of the pieces had been put together, and yet so far away. O foolish men, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary, verse 26, was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? Come on, Cleopas, think about the prophecy. Come on, other traveler, think about what the prophets have said. Wasn't there a hint of a suffering servant and glory that would follow? Don't you remember what the prophet said and what it would look like? Put all the pieces of this puzzle together. Verse 27. If you would come to Emmaus Bible College, and you are officially invited anytime. It's not that far away. If you were to come to Emmaus Bible College and enter the David A. Glock Auditorium and look behind the stage on the wall, you know what you would find there, friends? This verse upon the wall. Luke 24, 27. The whole verse is not there. The reference is there in this part of the verse. The things concerning himself. Now, I will suggest to you that we have great instructors
on our faculty at Emmaus Bible College, but their instruction would pale in light of the instruction, the Old Testament walkthrough that they were about to receive from the hope of the world. Can you imagine Cleopas? Can you imagine other traveler? This lesson that the Lord Jesus brought your way. Verse 27 says this, "Then beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures." Can you imagine that? Can you imagine when he looked at the law and he brought to the attention of Cleopas and the other, "That was me." They don't know it yet. But describing the hope of the world, the promised Messiah. Can you imagine when they went through the Psalms? Can you imagine when they got to Isaiah 53? And other prophecies where he carefully explained to them the things concerning himself, where he put together all the pieces of the puzzle because they were foolish men, slow of heart to believe what they had seen, what was all around them, and hadn't yet put it together. Do you remember when you did? Do you remember when you did? When you put all the pieces of the puzzle together and you realize who Jesus Christ is, that he is the hope of the world, he is the promised one, he is the Messiah, and that you are a sinner worthy of death because of your sins, and you put it all together and realize that Christ has come, the hope of the world, and you believed. You exercise saving faith, trusting in the hope of the world, this indescribable gift that we celebrate this time of year. Do you remember when? I dare you to tell somebody your story tonight before you go to bed. Remind them of your testimony. Remind them of the time where you put the pieces of the puzzle together and you got it and you understood and the Spirit convicted and you were drawn and you trusted in the person of Christ alone for salvation. That's why this is the most wonderful time of the year, isn't it? That's why this is the happiest season of all, isn't it? That's why on Thursday we can pause and we can give thanks to the one who gives us everything. And we know him through his Son. And beginning with Moses and the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. The journey continues, verse 28, and they approached the village where they were going, and he acted as though he were going farther. All kinds of strategy and purpose along this journey. Eyes prevent it. Perhaps I'll travel further. He acted as though he were going farther, but they urged him, saying, "Stay with us, for it is getting toward evening, and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. He went in to stay with you, Cleopas, and the other. Verse 30, when he reclined at the table with them, I love this scene, don't you? What did he do? He took the role of host and he took the bread and blessed it. And breaking it, he began giving it to them. He took the bread and blessed it. And breaking it, he began giving it to them. And as he did this, their eyes were opened. As he did this,
took the bread, blessed it, and began giving it to them, to you, Cleopas and other. Your eyes were open previously and sovereignly prevented from recognizing the hope of the world, the promised Redeemer. Your eyes are now open. And you recognize that it is He. And the pieces of the puzzle come together. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized Him. I shared with the young people a favorite phrase that I enjoy, that I've heard and actually have seen on occasion from a television program called Duck Dynasty. I know you don't know about Duck Dynasty. Hard to miss Duck Dynasty these days. There's a phrase that they use when someone leaves the room quickly. They simply say, "He gone." Two words. They don't want to waste their words, apparently. "He gone." They recognize it's the Lord Jesus. And He gone. He vanishes, disappears from their sight. What would you have thought, Cleopas and the other? What would your reaction have been when you recognize that it is Jesus and then He gone? Verse 32, they said to one another, "Were not our hearts burning within us while He was speaking to us on the road, while He was explaining the Scriptures to us?" That's the right response, isn't it? Were not our hearts burning within us as the hope of the world, now the one we recognize, explain to us the things concerning Himself as He went through all the Scriptures? That was me, and that's me, and that's me, and that's talking about me, and that psalm, that's me, and that's me. Explain the things concerning Himself. Physically, friends, we do not enjoy the experience of heartburn. Have you ever had it? Don't raise your hands. We're sharing too much right now. I've had it from time to time. I don't like it. Physically, I'm not a fan of heartburn. Spiritually, I love it. Have you had it? I love watching young men and women as they open God's Word. We did it over the weekend. I get to do it a lot with folks at Emmaus, and as I travel hither and yon, we sometimes call it, my dad uses the phrase, the aha experience. The aha experience. I never saw that before. I didn't realize that. That's talking about Jesus. I'm putting the pieces of the puzzle together. It ought to be that we continue to have heartburn, folks. It ought to be that we continue to have aha experiences as we learn the things concerning Himself through the study of Holy Scripture. Does your heart burn as you're learning the things concerning Himself? My parents, my mom's been with the Lord for over 5 years now, but my parents, as we celebrate, we love to, Thanksgiving and especially Christmas, my parents encouraged me to look at Christmas through different lenses, trying to have aha experiences. Perhaps look at them through the eyes of the prophets, or through the eyes of Mary one season, or Joseph, or the angels, or the shepherds, or of the Father, or of the Son, trying to have heartburn during the Christmas season. Physically, that's no problem. But spiritually, to put more pieces of the puzzle together.
Can I give you some homework over Thanksgiving break? Wouldn't that be fantastic? We won't collect it. You won't be tested. But may I encourage you to look at Christmas through a unique and specific lens this season? Here's an opportunity. Look at the prophecies from the Old Testament that have to do with the incarnation itself. Study them this year, anew or afresh, to have the aha experience so your heart might burn as you learn the things concerning himself. I love what Peter says about the prophets and the angels. This is a great couple of lenses for your consideration. You know what Peter says the prophets did? This is amazing. As the prophets were writing down the prophecies from God, they realized, they recognized, they understood that those prophecies were not for their benefit, but for the benefit of someone else. Who is that someone else? Us. The prophets, can you imagine them writing down the prophecies concerning the incarnation and other prophecies and realizing that they weren't for them, but they were for the sake of someone else? But it says of the prophets that they longed to investigate and look into and try to figure out, who's it going to be? Who's it going to be? And when's it going to take place? Can you imagine Micah writing down Bethlehem Ephratah? The exact location of where the Redeemer, the Promised One, would be born? Can you imagine Micah as he wrote down that prophecy, knowing that it was God-breathed, and writing down and recording that? And as he writes and records, he knows it's not for his benefit, but he still wants to investigate and try to figure it out and put more pieces of the prophetic puzzle together. Will you investigate like the prophets? You know what it says the angels long to do? Look over the edge of heaven, if you will, and watch the salvific plan orchestrated by the Almighty take place. The angels celebrate, don't they? They surely do. And in Peter, it tells us that the prophets and the angels long to look into and investigate and watch God's plan of salvation. Will you be like the angels? Longing to look into? Will you be like the prophets? Will you be like Simeon? Remember Simeon? Having been told that he wouldn't see death until he saw the hope of the world, the promised one, the Messiah, the child. He knew that. The Holy Spirit made it known to him. He was told that he would not see death. Luke chapter 2, maybe that's the lens you want to look at this Christmas season to help you with some spiritual heartburn. And when the child approached, he realized that he could now die because he has seen the consolation of Israel. How about Anna? How did Anna respond to the Savior, the Christ child? She worshiped and gave thanks and told others about what had taken place. May it be at this most wonderful time of year, may it be during this happiest season of all, that we don't miss it. Those of us who know better, those of us who have responded and have put the pieces of the puzzle together and have realized that hope has come. The greatest gift the world has ever seen, this indescribable gift, may it be that we don't miss it because of the hustle and bustle. May we be intentional and be like the prophets and the angels and like Simeon and like Anna, looking for all the little details about the promised one. And may it be that this season we have the aha experience. We learn something new. We see a different perspective.
and that our hearts indeed burn within us as we learn the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. Help us, Father, to not miss it this time of year. We'd pause right now and we'd think about those who still are. So many of the pieces of the puzzle are in place, but they haven't believed. They haven't trusted. They haven't realized that Jesus is the promised one and that he is the hope of the world. And that he died on a cross to pay the penalty for our sins, for their sins. We pray for those who will attend Christmas programs and plays and ballets and choral performances and church services. We pray that this would be the season that they see that it is he and they trust in Christ alone. For those of us who have, Father, may we make careful searches and inquiries. May we long to look into your plan of salvation and celebrate it anew and afresh and appreciate it all the more. And may our hearts burn within us, we ask and pray. May it not be old news, but may it be great news. May we give thanks for this indescribable gift. And may we, like Anna, worship, give thanks, and tell others that hope has come. We thank you that we have this piece of the puzzle. And may we unashamedly share it with others, we ask and pray. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.